Hi, this is Nathan East, hanging with the Teddy Bear on LOTL Radio, The Zone.
Teddy Bear, and welcome to the zone of LOTO Radio. Lord have mercy. Man, you know, it's very rare that Teddy Bear gets really hyped and excited, but you know, I get lost when you get lost in blueprint music, standard music. And this very talented gentleman, my goodness, long admirer of his career, new hit single, A Love of My Own. I can only be talking about one person, the legendary Mr. Crooner extraordinaire, Mr. Howard Hewitt, as we have the pleasure of debuting his new hit single, A Love of My Own. So on behalf of the Teddy Bear and the Zone, it is my pleasure to welcome to LOTO Radio the legendary Mr. Howard Hewitt. Howard, how are you doing this afternoon?
I'm great, man. I'm gonna have you go around the country with me. You got to introduce me like that on every show, man. That's very cool. Yeah, man.
It's my pleasure, man. Thank you so much with honoring us with your presence today. And I must ask, man, A Love of My Own, my goodness.
Oh, yeah.
Do you still consider yourself not a hopeless romantic, but a hopeful romantic?
There you go. I like that. It's like makes it a lot better, man. The hopelessness is not, I don't like hopelessness. I like hopeful. You know what
there
I'm saying? So that's good.
But you that's know, I got a bone to pick with you, man. I got a bone to pick with you. Now, you're teasing us with a slice of cheesecake. It's been a minute since we got a full entree, a full course meal. When can we expect either an EP or an album from you?
The album, the project is basically done now. You know, I'm just waiting on some little, you know, little fine tune things. Like yesterday, it was amazing. Joyce Irby used to be with Climax back in the day. You know, Fenderella. You know, her name was Fenderella, and she sent me a song yesterday that was just amazing. I mean, amazing. And see, it's stuff like that. It's things like that where, you know, you think you're done, but then you get something that's like, oh man, I got to do this. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's now and especially, you know, it's like you can take your time and really put together, you know, the type of project that you want to put together. So, whether it be an EP or a full album, I will.
Well, we've been waiting. Howard, can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah.
Yeah, man. Like I said, we've been waiting a long time for some new music. But, you know, one of the things I wanted to ask you is many interviews that you have given, and I hear you talk about the past as far as the things that you had to go through to get where you're at now in this industry. Mm-hmm. Can you somewhat imagine what it would be like if we had the advent of social media back when you started, where we're at right now as far as record sales and being able to promote your music?
Wow, you know, that's a good question, because I mean, the thing about back in the day was that, you know, you were so under the control of record companies and their whole thing. I mean, even as far as the percentage of what you realize as far as your projects are, you got a 20% royalty. you know, where you saw, you know, you realized like 20% of your product. That was a good deal. That was a really good deal. A lot of artists were at 10%, 12% or whatever. So, you know, but social media have more control over his or her. I think there's a lot of different acts, recording artists and everything that would look different today if we had social media all along back then, back at that time.
No, I was getting ready to say, it's amazing to me where it's become such a helpful tool, because now, back when we started, the artists had to, you know, travel from city to city, state to state to promote their music, and now, in the confines of your home or in the studio, you can reach everyone internationally to promote your music. How has the music industry changed for you over the years? As far as I look at you, there's singers and there's vocalists. I've always considered you a vocalist.
Thank you.
The industry today respects songwriters now, or do you think they've actually dropped off as far as how they look at songwriters, and they're just more into quote unquote smoke and mirrors now, as far as the industry overall?
Well, I think, man, that, I think it's just like it's always been, basically, whereas you have to really kind of, you have to sift through all the craziness to get to the jewels. And it's always been that way. I mean, the only thing that's different now is that there's an influx of people recording and that type of thing because of the fact that you have technology, the way technology is now. It's lowered that bar as far as, you know, what you need in order to put together a quality project, you know, in a you clear out a corner in your house or in your apartment or whatever, and you have the right stuff, the Pro Tools, the, you know, or the Reasons or the Logic programs, you know, format.
Right.
In that sense, the bar has been lowered in order to put together a quality piece of product. As far as, you know, people coming into the thing, then there's an influx of people coming into the music business. But when you look at it like that, then there's a lot of people who are talented you know, put that talent on, you know, on something for somebody to hear, because of the fact that, you know, they may not have been able to afford the studio time, you know, to go into the studio. And at that time, that was the only way to, back in the day, that was the only way to get your stuff, you know, down on some tape, you know. But now you can, you know, you can get it on there, you know, like I said, if you got to clear out a little corner in your crib, you know, and got the right equipment, you can put together, you know, you can put together a quality piece of product. So, you know, in that sense, and with that, I'm saying also that it's just like back in the day, there was some great stuff. Great talent that came up, great groups and vocalists and everything that came up, but you still had to kind of sift through the craziness,
right?
I think it's just like now. I mean, like, you know, I look at the, like, Ro James. I love Ro James' stuff. Anderson .Paak, amazing vocalist, amazing artist rather, and, you know, Kendrick Lamar is doing some great stuff if you get into the rap hip hop situation, and, you know, but there's great stuff out there, but you gotta sift through it, you gotta be patient, sift through it, you know, and because, like I said, there's an influx of stuff now. Anybody can jump up and do a project now, you know.
Right.
So.
I've always used the analogy where, you know, both of us are 21. And, you know, when mom would get in the kitchen cooking prepared food, she did it with love. We had a gas stove. Everything was prepared with love. It took time. And I think the artists really took time because it was their baby. Mm-hmm. It was their project because at that time it took money to go in the studio to record. Mm-hmm. It took a lot of money. Mm-hmm. When you didn't have everything mm-hmm. that was accessible as it is today. When I look at it now as far as the access, where you have YouTube where you can have somebody make a YouTube video and then get a record deal, it's incredible. Mm-hmm. It's literally incredible to me. And I think a lot of it is taken away from the substance of the music. Mm-hmm. And it's mm-hmm. really hurt. Well, I've always wanted to ask you, what was your thought process when you started seeing a lot of the, not just the record labels disappearing, falling by the wayside, mm-hmm. but also the music stores like Sam Goody, Music Plus, mm-hmm. Tower Records, all mm-hmm. these stores that were so advantageous to the artists where you could have a meet and greet, even the mom and pop stores in the neighborhood. When they started disappearing, what was your thought process at the time? What were you thinking?
Well, things, you know, everything changes. You know what I'm saying? You have to recognize that change and realize also that, you know, everything changes and you can't stop it. It's just like technology. I stand on this soapbox all the time, especially with people in the age bracket of like 50 on up or whatever, because they're so locked in their ways a lot of times. You know, like when I hear people say, well, you know, I don't, it's difficult for me to even figure out how to use my cell phone. Well, you know, you need to figure that out, because it's not, technology is not going to change. It's not going to all of a sudden, oh, okay, we were just kidding, you know, so we'll go back to, you know, finding a payphone and, you know, and that whole thing.
Phone.
Yeah. Or the rotary phone or the big pack on your hip, you know. So it's not gonna change. So, you know, and it's just like music. I mean, when I saw the whole concept as far as radio is concerned, commercial radio, when I saw them implementing the whole thing where one person was consulting for 250 or 300 stations, I knew then that these things are changing, because they took away the autonomy of the disc jockeys, you know, the DJs who basically, if they were a good DJ, if they were a good on-air personality, they took the time to find out what was happening in their community, what was happening musically in their community, and they conveyed that on the radio shows. You know, the Frankie Crockers were, you know, there were only a few that were still, you know, had that ability to, you know, add a song or break a song, whatever. Frankie Crockers were the ones. The Frankie Crockers were one of them, and I can't even think of, you know, any other ones back in the day. But I know Frankie, when he was alive, that was his whole thing. But you know, when I saw that's how that whole thing was going down, I knew things were changing. Things were definitely changing. So I mean, it's either you figure out that it's changing, and you arrange your thing accordingly, or else you get lost and you get, you know, left behind. And,
right.
And the best example of being left behind, basically, are the record companies. You know, the record companies, you know, for years and years back in the day, they were like, oh, internet, no, we don't have to be concerned about that. Oh, yes, you do. They did have to be concerned about that, and they didn't concern themselves with it, so they found themselves behind the eight ball as far as that's concerned. Now record companies are basically what they should be anyway, which are basically distribution companies, you know. and the only thing that they really break, you know, if you're 18, 19, 20 years old, then okay, we'll do something. But if they got to work a little harder, you know, for anything, then it's like they're lost, you know. Yeah. So, you know, it's things change. Everything changes, man. And you just have to be able to take off that one hat and put on another hat when it changes, you know, and make sure that in the course of everything changing as an artist, in the course of everything changing, you maintain your, you know, your integrity as an artist, and right. not be swayed by this and this sound, this thing coming in, that thing coming in. I mean, you be creative and be adventurous. I'm all for being adventurous. To me, a love of my own, because Average White Band is a love of your own. This is a love right. of my own. So, to me, a love of my own is an adventurous type of single vocally for myself. And then project, once it comes out, I mean, I have the, you know, the pleasure of being able to explore a whole lot of.
Well, I've always said, you know, if you understand the business aspect of the industry, you'll always come on top. And that's one of the things I've always admired you about. You said, you know, it took you time to really thoroughly understand the business mm-hmm. aspect of the music industry. And you said, once you got mm-hmm. a grasp of that, it's a beautiful thing being an independent artist, because you have complete creative control over your music mm-hmm. and the direction that you want. Distribution, as you said, distribution, and not with all the bells and whistles and work and cutting, you know, not being cheated out of your money, and mm-hmm. also not cheating the listeners out of it. What has it meant to you from a personal standpoint to have so much love and support and dedication from so many listeners who have followed your career from the beginning, and they're still standing by you right now? Here it is, what, 2017?
Yeah. I mean, man, that is so humbling. You know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of people always ask me, they say, how does it feel, you know, after all these years when you hear your music on the radio? To this day, man, I do the same thing I did the very first time that I heard, you know, the first time I heard, second time around on the radio back in the day. I do, God, praise the Lord, you know, because it didn't have to be like that. You know what I'm saying? Right. And I think that goes to, again, to keeping integrity in what you do, because people can see, they can sense if you're not true to what, if you don't believe what you're doing. You know what I'm saying? If you don't stay within any confines, because I don't believe anybody should be confined to any confines as far as their creativity is concerned. But you right. do have to have respect. But you do have to have respect for the people that have been following you and been loyal to you all these years. You know, but also I believe that, you know, I have the respect from my listeners and the people that have been following music for years and years to give me the respect as a creative person to explore different things. You know what I'm saying? To explore different places as far as like musically is concerned. Like on this project, there was a single that we put out. It'll be on the album also. So we just put it out, you know, just to put something in the marketplace a couple years ago, but it's called "You Still Live Inside of Me," and it's a country song. You know, country. It's got a country vibe to it. You know, country with Howard Hewitt vocals. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, and then you know, I work with Steve Russell from Troop. You know, and, right. and he's an amazing writer and producer, and you know, got a chance to work again with Leon Silvers, you know, and you know, it's like But my audience has also allowed me, as an artist, to, you know, to explore different places, different, you know, genres of music, and, you know, like jazz and all that kind of stuff, and also, you know, just be creative as an artist and stuff, and that's right. Important too. They've come along with me, and we've had, you know, a lot of great adventures, I believe, through the years.
Absolutely. Now, I must admit, I know I'm speaking for a lot of the listeners out there, but also for myself. You know, the teddy bear can be somewhat selfish. We want what we want. I must ask, man, between you, Miss Wadley, and Mr. Daniels, you three collectively left a lot of great music laying on the table. Mm-hmm. A lot of great music. I'm putting emphasis on great, a lot of great music.
Mm-hmm.
What would it take to collectively for you three to get together and, I mean, really do it? I mean, again, you left a lot of great music on the table.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's much needed.
Yeah, I mean, that's a question that I get all the time. And I know if I get it all the time, I know Jody gets it all the time, you know, also. But, you know, I'm 61 years old, man. And like, you know, it's like I have been very, very blessed with great health, you know what I'm saying, and mental stability, you know, along with a thriving and relevant career that's you know, like people that I look at are my heroes, are like Smokey Robinson, who's like late 70s now and still out there relevant, and Tony Bennett, who just celebrated 90 years old, you know. So those are my heroes. Those are people I look at. But see, you won't reach that if you're surrounded by like a lot of stress and a lot of unnecessary drama, you know. So I try and stay away from that. I try and stay away from that as much as possible. And that's one of the beauties of being blessed with a career, that the type of career that I've been blessed with, whereas I have control over what I allow in my space. And and so, like, you know, I believe that, you know, coming together, Shalimar coming back together, even, you know, coming back together and doing a tour would be an amazing, amazing, amazing thing. I think it would be history being made, because not only you, man, but a whole lot of people would love to see that, because we did. We didn't stop. We didn't stop touring and recording together because we couldn't sell any more records. You know, we were on the verge of jumping up on another plateau with the Look album and Dead Giveaway and all that kind of stuff. You know, but the thing is that if you have to, it's a situation, man, where you have to, like, everything has to be respected. Everything has to be put into place and solidified as far as that's concerned. It has to be respect on everybody's side as far as each other is concerned. And, you know, if we could do that, then that would be a great situation. I even have I always joke around, I even have the name of the tour. The name of the tour would be One Time Only Tour. One time only. You guys said you wanted to see this, so go get your tickets, because you're going to see this one time. So it's coming to your city. One time only tour coming to your city soon. So, but I mean, again, like I said, I think it would be an amazing thing. But, you know, everybody has to, like, participate in it, and it can't be a thing. It can't be a thing where, you know, anything under the table, for lack of a better phrase, anything under the table is happening. Everything has to be above board. Everything has to be, you know, respected in the way that it needs to be respected. So, You know, but and I'm the type, I never say never, man. You don't know. You never know who's gonna have a change of heart, who's gonna be ready to do business the way the business is supposed to be done, and and make that happen, because it would be amazing thing for all the fans out there.
Absolutely, especially with the influx of the European audience, man, in England, in Japan, Sweden. They are just, it's incredible.
But Jeffrey and I and Carolyn Griffey,
right.
We do the UK, Japan, Africa, all throughout Europe and stuff all the time. We're back over there actually in April for about 3 weeks, you know, doing some shows and stuff. But in fact, there's a magazine or whatever they do. They have a thing where they do every year where they'll name the top grossing, top popular tours that happened over throughout the UK. And 2016, Calamar was number two, right up under Stevie Wonder. So that's not too bad. So we were number two as far as like the top grossing, top attendance as far as live shows are concerned over there. So we're over there, you know, the three of us are over there all the time. And when we first got to like 15, 20 years or so, and the first time we got an offer, which was back about 20 years ago, first person we thought, of course, was Jody. But Jody didn't want to participate. So then Jeffrey and I did it for a couple years, and then we wanted to bring a female entity in it. And so we brought Carolyn Griffey, who is Dick Griffey's daughter.
Right.
And she grew up with Selmar. So it wasn't like we went out and auditioned somebody for the position. Carolyn was the perfect person for that position because, so many different things. Her knowledge of the history, plus she's an amazing vocalist. I love her vocals. She's very soulful, and she looks amazing. She looks great. So on the stage, it's a great thing, great look for us.
Well, brother, one of the things I wanted to tell you, is when I got an opportunity to get you on the show, I said, first and foremost, man, I want to tell you how proud I am of you. I respect your growth. I respect the fact that you take this music seriously. It is an art form.
Mm-hmm.
You've never cheated the listeners. Every opportunity that I've seen, and I've had an opportunity to see you perform on three separate occasions, the amount of love that you give back to the listeners is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
It's very humbling. And man, the Howard Hewitt of today and the Howard Hewitt of 20 years ago is night and day.
Mm-hmm.
The journey has been in... It's been incredible.
Mm-hmm. it's been amazing, huh? It's like, you know, because I mean, when I got into the business, it was like, you know, it wasn't like I wanted to jump in here and be, you know, have a couple hits and then go chill on the beach somewhere, man. I love working. I've always been a performing artist since I was 10 years old. So like, you know, but the thing about performing, to me anyway, is about that connection that you have with the audience. You know, that's why, like I have my band. My band is out of Memphis, right? So, but I do a lot of live to track stuff too, because one of the reasons why I do that, because people will call and they'll say, oh, I want you to do this gig, and we have a band. We have a band that can play behind you. Well, you know, any top 40 band can learn top 40 music, any kind of music, right? But it's not about learning. It's not about learning the songs, more so than it's about learning how to get in and out of the songs and making that conglomeration of songs into a show, into a cohesive show. And like I tell people that that tell me that, I said, man, when I come in, you know, I'm coming in to entertain. I'm coming in to entertain the people. I'm not coming in to be a band leader, you know, right, where I got to stand up there and lead them and all that kind of stuff. If I have to do that, then, you know, it's taking away from the time that I have, you know, that I need to be paying attention to my audience, and because they're the ones that paid that money, you know. So I'll do live track stuff if it's, you know, if push comes to shove as far as that's concerned. So, because I know my tracks, I know exactly what I'm getting ready to do, where what goes where, the whole thing, and it's all good. But there is a respect, I think, that you have to. You owe your audience, as far as when they paid their hard-earned money, you know, to come see you perform. So that's why I try and you know, adhere to that as much as possible.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know what, family? Without further ado, man, we got to get into some new music, of course, from the legendary Mr. Howard Hewitt with his new hit single, "A Love of My Own," here in the Zone of LOTO Radio.
When I fell in love, I can remember beautiful moments, a perfect picture, building up a chair. Nothing ever came between us. This magical life is all that I wanted.
Wonderful, yeah.
I'm so in love. I never gave you up. I need you to know you hold a place in my heart. That's who you are.
No.
R&B, Shaken But Never Stirred, Lord Have Mercy, the new hit single from the legendary Howard Hewitt, A Love of My Own, available on iTunes, Google Play, also on Spotify. But for those who like to live a little bit more adventurous, you can always purchase the new hit single at Amazon.com. And to get all the latest updates, let your fingers do the walking. Stop by Howard's official website. That's at www.howardhewittmusic.com. You can also catch up with him on Facebook at Howard Hewitt Fan Page, Twitter, Just the Vocalist, and last but not least, Instagram.com/Howard_Hewitt. Howard, it has been an honor for me to have you on the show, man. I'm looking forward to you coming down here to Houston, man, very, very soon. Very soon.
Yeah, I think there's actually a date on hold, actually, for Houston. We have to figure out, because it might come along. It might interfere with a foreign situation. I have to go overseas. But if not, I'll be there, man. I love Houston. Houston's great market.
Well, if you come down here, please, man, stop by the studio, man. This is definitely your home, man, or whatever. Please don't hesitate to let us know. Much continued success, man, on this journey of music, okay?
Thank you. To you, too, man. To you, too. Have a nice success on your show, and keep it up, man. Keep it real. Keep it 100.
Absolutely.
That's what it's all about.
Hey, yep. like the Pharaoh once said, so it is written. So it shall be done, Lord.
So it shall be done. God bless, man.
God bless Howard. The legendary Howard Hewitt here in the zone of LOTO Radio. Lord have mercy. Hope everyone enjoyed the interview. But yeah, it's time for the teddy bear to take a little quick 2 and 2. Need some chocolate to quench my thirst. Hey, you know I love chocolate, and teddy bears love honey. Double dipped, succulent, delightful, delicious, and delectable. So to speak. But in the meantime, while I got you here, safe and sound, cozy like Linus's blanket, let's get lost in some more Howard Hewitt as we rewind the clock, go back in time with Once, Twice, Three Times, here in the zone of LOTO Radio.
It was a slow song, the lights were so low. Oh, I held you so close, I could feel your heartbeat. Then I kissed you once, and my head started spinning
twice,
like a merry-go-round.
Three times,
and I fell so deep in love with you, baby. But when